Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, this is Anne Revelle Petcher. I'm your host with my co-host today, Joan Locke.
Hello, Anne. I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Thanks. I'm so glad to have you here co-hosting with me today instead of just behind the producer's desk.
You're such a brave soul.
Don't you love fall? Fall is great. All these things happen, like you lose your voice. And anyway, we have a really fun show today because we have a really broad show. We have in the studio with us first Michelle Savard, who is with Wilmington Homebrew Supply. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
Glad to have you in here.
Thanks for having me.
I heard all these people go, oh, are you on live at 3 o'clock with Homebrew? That's great.
Oh, that's
good
to hear.
Did she bring samples?
I failed. I didn't bring any samples today.
Maybe we'll start having these shows on Friday afternoon and you can bring samples.
I will do that. I'll come right back.
We also have in the studio Craig Stinson, who's wearing a couple of hats these days. He's the arts director for Kukulors Film Festival, and he's also the founder of Arts in Wilmington, which is a service that connects arts and artists throughout the city. Hello.
How are you doing? Thank you.
So glad to have you here.
I'm very, very pleased to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
We're looking forward to hearing about what you're doing and how you're helping the arts come together.
Thanks.
We also have with us Rick Drum. Rick is the founder and president of Traction Business Coaching, and I just met Rick a few months back at a mixer, and I thought, man, what a cool business model. Why don't you come in and talk to us on the air? So here he is, live and in person, Rick Drum.
Well, thank you, Ann. It's great to be
exciting.
Here.
Exciting. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Traction Business Coaching?
Well, I started Traction Business Coaching this past March. My wife and I moved down from Long Island after...
A place we know and love well.
Yeah, well, it seems like half the population's down here already.
Only a third, but...
After spending 30-plus years in the music products industry... I'm somewhat semi-retired, and I wanted to take what I had learned over those 30 years in operations and marketing and sales and product development and share those lessons with young business owners, startups, or multi-generational family businesses. Because actually the last business that I was president of was a company called D'Addario and Company, and they're the largest manufacturer of guitar strings globally.
Oh, wow. D'Addario.
Yeah. And in the case of that family business, we were moving from Generation 3 to Generation 4.
Oh.
So part of my responsibility beyond managing the company was also mentoring that next generation, getting them ready for senior management.
Wow, transitioning. Wow, that's a big deal. So it's really interesting that you would come to Wilmington and start this. How are you differentiating? I think probably that family business focus might be one of your major differentiators here.
Yeah, it is. My entire career has been spent managing, as it turned out, not by design, family businesses.
Wow.
So I've been exposed to all of the dynamics, both positive and negative, of being involved as a non-family manager.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really important for here in Wilmington because obviously we have a bunch of family-owned businesses here. So what kind of coaching do you offer them?
Well, I work with the normally the owners of the company, and I help them work through areas where they may be stuck in their business. They may have problems in prioritizing their time. They may feel like they're always out of time. So a red flag for me is I don't have enough time.
Right.
Or I'm getting further behind. I can't find the right people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble generating new sales. Mm-hmm. I'm having problems with profitability. When I hear those things coming from a business owner, then I know that I have solutions that can help them.
It sounds like almost any kind of business could utilize a little bit of that kind of coaching.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm hearing those things, and those are things I hear from small business owners in town all the time.
Right.
How do you find your clients?
Well,
you know, as a new business in town, I would assume that it's a little bit difficult.
It is. You know, it's interesting. As I mentioned earlier, I was a senior manager of some of the the largest companies in the music products industry. And it's a little bit like coming from the, Cheers, where everybody knows your name.
Hey, Norm.
To Wilmington. So who are you? What do you do? And why are you here? So I spend a lot of time going to networking events and trying to introduce who I am and, mm-hmm. and what I do, because the problems that I help businesses solve are universal problems.
Absolutely.
They're not unique.
Right. That's really interesting. So I'm sure that a lot of people out there who are at those networking events have run into coaching before. How do you help them understand the return on the investment that they're going to make?
Well, there have been studies done on that return, and studies have shown that the return on the investment averages almost six times what the investment is. And that's real money.
Mm-hmm.
And then where we see that is in improved productivity and improved opportunities. Because if I have a business owner that is, shall we say, stuck in the weeds and dealing with the day-to-day, then they're not focusing in on where there could be opportunities of growth for their company.
A 6x return is pretty major.
Yes, it is.
You don't get to find that in very many with very many tools. So.
No, not at all.
So that's very cool. What kind of things would somebody work on with you? What kind of tools do you use in this coaching?
Well, one of the tools I use is called the sellability score, and there we focus in on the value that the business owner would be creating within mm-hmm. his business. You know, regardless of whether or not they're ready to sell the business or not is not material at this time. It's more where should the business owner focus his efforts? So, for example, is too much of his business focused in on one customer? Is he too reliant upon one employee? Does he have products that offer recurring sales opportunities?
Okay, yeah. So you take a look at a combination of things from product offerings as well as the way they're approaching their operations, et cetera.
Right. And actually, one of the things I'd like to offer to our business listeners is a free sellability score. If you go to my website, tractionbusinesscoaching.com, and go to the sellability score, you can take a free sellability score evaluation, and you'll get back a 26-page assessment of where you may have some opportunities.
That's very interesting. Rick, do you hold one-on-one meetings? Is that how you start out your client relationship?
Yes. Yeah, I'll do both, one-on-one and also group coaching. I find that the one-on-one is very effective. It depends on what the needs are of the business.
Okay. What you don't really limit yourself to size a company. Are you pretty much over 50 employees, or are you under 50 employees that you find you're helping more these days?
Well, right now, the range of my clients are everything from I have two startups to a retailer in Iowa that's doing $34 million in revenue with 170 employees.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So not all your clients are here in Wilmington.
They are not. I would like to generate more clients here because I'd like to try to reduce the amount of time I'm spending on airplanes these days.
That sounds familiar. Less time on the road, huh, Joan?
Yeah.
So how do you charge for your consulting? Is it like consulting? It's like consulting, right?
Well, there's a difference between coaching and consulting. With consulting, and I do both, but with consulting, as a consultant, I'm expected to come in, study a problem, and then make recommendations for solutions for that problem. And then with coaching, I try to help that client learn where they can improve, and they actually come up with, in probably 95% of the time, they're coming up with the solutions.
You're like the business therapy.
He's a therapist.
You're a therapist.
In a sense, yeah. I don't carry a couch.
Right,
but, yeah.
But I would assume that you also stay with them and help them stay on track along the way.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have check-ins every so often, or is there a program that you use, or...
Yeah, well, I have clients that meet with me every other week for an hour and a half, And then I have clients that I meet with weekly, and then I also have clients that I meet with on a monthly basis.
Oh, good.
So do you charge differently for a consulting service versus a coaching service?
Yes, and I take a look at what the request has been or what the requirements are. And as opposed to charging by the hour, I come up with a quotation that's built on what I feel the value of the project is.
Great.
Very nice. Well, if someone has a need right now for you, how do they get in touch with you? Give us your website and contact info again.
Well, my email is rick@tractionbusinesscoaching.com. My website is tractionbusinesscoaching.com. And my phone number is 774-249-5131.
So for all the businesses out there listening today, and hopefully when you're listening through the podcast over the next days, contact Rick if you need to get back on track, because I know I could probably even use a little bit of staying on track these days.
Right. So it's for business to business and business to consumer companies.
Correct.
Absolutely. Very cool. Well, great. Super.
Thank you.
We're going to come back and chat with you again in a few minutes here. But let's talk about the arts for a little bit. Let's talk with Craig Stinson. Craig, tell us about arts in Wilmington and tell us...
I think I made a mistake on that other introduction that I gave you. Craig can correct that.
Oh, that's fine. I'm my day job is with Kugler's Film Festival. Mm. I'm their development director, so I'm in charge of fundraising and the revenue issues.
I had the title wrong. Sorry, Craig.
I get to work with all the creative people. I'm just the bureaucrat.
Always the fun job.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
So you've been at Kugler's for how long?
We started this year at Kugler's.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's great fun. We just had Kugler's in the studio last week.
And bunch of great people, yeah.
A lot of good stuff going on this year for the big anniversary.
Uh-huh.
But then you found a need for the arts to get together in town. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I started a newsletter that goes out once a week. It goes out every Thursday, 6:30 a.m. And it's as comprehensive a look at the arts in that are taking place in the Wilmington area as possible.
I can vouch for that because I love to share it through social media because it is probably the most comprehensive in the arts, and Wilmington is so full of arts and culture. We just don't have time to do everything, right, Craig?
Unfortunately, that is the case, right?
Well, tell us why you actually did start the newsletter.
Well, my background is I'm actually from Wilmington. I'm a native of Wilmington, but I was gone for, 20 years. Not an uncommon story where you leave and then try and find a way to get back
home. You can never spend your whole life away from Wilmington.
I was able to come back home 2 or 3 years ago, and am very pleased to be back in Wilmington. But the newsletter itself from a selfish standpoint, was just a way to get to know all the arts people in town. To find out who they were, what the spectrum of activities that were taking place, and helpfully fill a need in the community. And the underlying issue is that there's tons of stuff happening in this town. I mean, it's an amazing arts community. And I think the more we can collaborate and work together and promote that, then the better.
And Craig, you list all of these all these events, whether they're fundraisers, whether they're business events, you list those all for free for everyone, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so any artist or arts organization that's looking to get the word out, they can communicate with me directly. I just kind of scan stuff daily and kind of harvest it off different channels. And so anyway, it's a kind of an ongoing compilation. But yeah, anybody's welcome to put something in if it's related.
And do you have a website?
Yeah, artsinwilmington.com.
Oh, that's pretty, pretty good, pretty easy, huh?
Yeah, I hope it's easy to remember. Artsinwilmington.com, and the main page is really the subscription form for the newsletter itself.
And what about can the arts organizations, how do they get the information to you?
Typically email.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people post to the Facebook page as well. That's /artswilmington.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to almost over 850.
Wow,
people,
that's great.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So give us a sense of what kind of trends you're seeing here. Are you seeing more visual arts, more performing arts? Are you seeing more in music or theater? What kind of What are we best at? What do we do the most of?
Yeah, you know, it's really across the spectrum. There are a lot of practicing visual artists in this town,
both in
2D and 3D. It's just an amazing array of people. Another area that I think is exceptionally strong, and we could probably market ourselves as the live theater capital of North Carolina. There's so much theater happening here.
Give us an example.
Well, we got City Stage. We've got productions at Thalian Hall, Thalian Association.
And there's Jingo's Playhouse.
Jingo's Playhouse has screenings in Big Dog, which is Cape Fear Playhouse.
And there's also now Theater Now.
Theater Now as well. And it's just for the town, the size, the amount of live theater activity that's taking place is really pretty exceptional.
I've seen some great, even Shakespeare plays done out at the amphitheater, Greenfield Lake Amphitheater. So you're right. And it bridges everything from kind of the campy kind of shows sometimes at City Stage to the more traditional plays.
Yeah, and following that, there are a lot of open auditions that are taking place, so we try and get those in the newsletter. Open calls for artists for upcoming shows, we try and get that in the newsletter. Use it as a resource for not only events that are taking place, but opportunities for the artists as well.
You know, I've had some of the tech startups in town recently say, hey, you know, we really need to get more music, get our music on the map more. There's amazing music here in town, and, you know, homegrown music. What are you seeing? What kind of opportunities are you seeing out there for musicians? Outside of course, the clubs, the basic clubs downtown for, you know, really targeting primarily the university. There's obviously the new opening of the club next door to the Mano restaurant. They seem to be bringing in a series of really interesting musicians.
Yeah, and it's an eclectic mix of stuff. I mean, it's really quite interesting what's happening in town. You get everything from rock and hip-hop to bluegrass to alternative bluegrass.
I treated my husband to an early birthday present of Zappa Plays Zappa at Ziggy's a week ago.
Right, and there's Ziggy's, and Brooklyn Arts Center is doing a lot of work, bringing a lot of great people in.
As well.
What do you see with the Arts Center at UNCW opening up, too? That's going to be, what, 1,500 seats? Right up the street.
Cape Fear Community College.
Yeah, Cape Fear. Yeah, that's actually going to be a pretty spectacular facility. If you've seen the renditions and the progress that's going on in there, it's going to really increase the capacity for bringing in major, more high-profile
and
groups
I think
as well.
Union Station did that also for the 3D and the visual arts when they opened Union Station.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see a lot of businesses in town do invest in visual art for their walls and their offices, and they support local artists as well. So it's there's a lot of reciprocity going there, and it's very good to see.
Craig, without putting you on the spot or anything, where do you see this newsletter or your interest in this area going, you know, a year from now?
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I love that we can help connect people in Wilmington, but I also, you know, my gut feeling is that Wilmington's a big secret as well, and I'd love to be able to...
No doubt about that.
Figure out ways that we can reach markets outside the area that would come here specifically for cultural experiences. I think, I've worked in South Carolina for a number of years, and a city like Charleston is quite amazing, and they do a great job with that. And most recently was in San Antonio, and they have a live, pretty vibrant cultural scene as well. And, you know, Wilmington is of that caliber, and I think people who spend time in the area do so for not only the built environment and the historic structures and the beaches, but because of the cultural offerings we have.
Well, and there is something that's coming up in October is Arts Blast. Chris Andrews runs that through his event company, Cool Wilmington. And I will definitely put you in touch with him because he has been trying over the years to grow it into like a Spoleto that happens down south in Charleston, I think.
Yeah.
And he likes to promote everything, and then he has an art walk at the very end. And I can see, you know, that kind of thing growing the same as the film festival has and the jazz festival has.
Right. Yeah, it's just tons of stuff.
There
it's an amazing city, isn't it?
It is a pretty amazing city.
People always ask me that. They come in and they always ask and say, what's there to do here? And I'm like, where do you start?
Yeah, right.
Craig, if there are a bunch of arts advocates out there, how can they get signed up onto this list of yours?
Well, just it's actually very simple. artsinwilmington.com. It's the subscriber form is right there on the front page.
Excellent.
So,
great.
Go ahead and do it.
Thanks for sharing this
Thank
time.
You.
Now to the world of beer.
Talk about beer.
Talk about beer. It's really exciting. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're really excited to hear a little bit more about what you're doing over there. Now, give us a little bit of background. You came to Wilmington recently from, was it Asheville?
Yes, and like Craig, I'm an Wilmington native. my husband and I we grew up here. I was born here, so Wilmington is definitely home.
She has a beautiful necklace on that is the state of North Carolina, so she's clearly a home girl.
Yes, this is from my husband.
Aww.
It has a heart over Wilmington, so... We spent some time in Asheville. We went to UNC Asheville, which is an awesome undergrad experience. And we learned...
Wait, you didn't go to college and learn something about beer, did you?
Yeah, I did.
How did that happen?
On
and
accident.
Certainly in Asheville.
Mm-hmm. On accident, that happened. A blessing, really. So I've got my marketing communications degree, and John got his business administration degree. And then he started homebrewing. Basically, long story short, and he made this IPA, which is an India Pale Ale hoppy beer. I loved it. I couldn't believe he had made it, really. I didn't believe him. And he got a job at a local brewery in Asheville for school credit. So he was cleaning tanks and, you know, working all hours of the day just for, I think, 3 hours of credit.
Mm.
And then they hired him on, and he worked in a local homebrew shop. And we moved back here. Both our families are here. So this is really home. And we saw a need for what wasn't here. That wasn't Asheville. And we opened the homebrew supply store.
Well, tell us how your inspiration came during your trip to Germany.
Yes, we graduated and we went on a very fast, I guess, European brewery tour, you could call it. We did 6 countries in 22 days.
Wow.
And
darn it, you had to drink.
Everywhere we went.
Europe.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very inspiring to see another part of the world, and especially Brussels.
Oh, yeah.
There's amazing beer
And did
there.
You get up to Bruges?
We didn't. We stayed. Oh. We got, you know, not stuck, but we just love
Brussels
so much.
Brussels is fabulous.
We stayed, but I've heard great things about Bruges. So.
Well, so you were inspired by what you saw there. You saw tours of all of these different breweries. And so you decided when you got back here, you were good, that Wilmington needed more beer, more homegrown beer.
Yes. When I got back, I was almost, from living in Asheville, I was almost sad because all these really cool, funky, homegrown places, I kind of had to relearn Wilmington. And now I know it very well. And there's so much in the arts and homegrown things and music and beer included.
Right. We're really starting to get on that map. And I think things like, I was just thinking Next Glass was up in Nashville for, what's it called, Brewfest?
Yeah, Brewgrass.
Yes,
that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we have some, you know, homegrown beer advocates here in town.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who went up to Brewgrass, which is a great name.
By the way, the wine and beer walks tomorrow, or Saturday.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Well, which makes me ask, where are you physically located?
We are at 824 South Kerr, or Carr, however you want to say that.
Depends on what city you're from.
Yes, that's right. It's right behind Dick's Sporting Goods. So we're right behind across the street near Apple
Inn. So nobody's going to be walking to you on the walking tour.
No, unfortunately not. We'll actually be featuring our beer at the Lighthouse Beer and Wine Festival, though, at the Battleship.
Oh, great.
Oh, good.
And when is that?
October 18th.
Okay, fabulous.
See, another thing to go to, Craig.
I know.
So tell us about the kinds of beer that people in Wilmington like to make.
Oh, all kinds.
Yeah?
All kinds.
We're not in a particular rut here yet?
No, not at all.
Excellent.
Actually, when we opened the store, there were already hundreds of homebrewers here. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have a shop to go to and talk to each other and ask questions and learn new techniques and recipes. So everything from an IPA to a Belgian triple.
Yum.
And yes, it's good.
That's really interesting. So you have both the brewing company where you brew your own beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also, do you offer classes on home brewing?
We do every Saturday. So we do 1:30 every Saturday. We brew a batch of beer.
Ah.
It's free. There's no need to RSVP or anything. Just show up and you can kind of see how the process is actually done. And it's a lot easier than people think. Mm. So,
do you distribute anywhere your own beers here?
We actually don't. We all, we're keeping it in our tap room for now. So we'll have 9 of our own beers on draft. And then we have 6 rotating kind of guest taps. Most of those are from North Carolina and locally, which is a new exciting thing. There's like 5 other breweries that are either opened or about to open in Wilmington. So
yeah, I think that's where all that legislation and all was happening in the Wilmington city, correct? With understanding all of the,
I was gonna ask
the needs of that industry.
Yeah, just trying to wrap everyone's head around, you know, what do we call this? How do we, because it's a huge influx in small breweries and we're really small. I mean, we, you know, we brew right there. We brew 100 gallons at a time.
And do you have tastings all the time?
On Fridays.
On Fridays.
Do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very yeah. I should have brought you guys some.
So people buy it by what, the growler or something like that?
Exactly.
How do they purchase it?
Yeah. Okay. North Carolina just recently pushed through the growler law, which is fantastic for breweries. So bottling lines can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Kegging your beer is very pricey for a startup business. So being able to fill that growler on demand is a huge. It's great.
So what do you figure? Can Wilmington be one of the next big beer destinations?
I think so. I think Wilmington is a secret, like Craig said. I'm it really is. It's, I don't want to say underrated, but there's so many cool things going on here, and it's all happening kind of recently, I feel.
I had a friend that's passed away since, but he was very active in the community, both downtown and Wilmington and in the arts and everything, and on radio. He had his own show, and he said, Wilmington is a diamond in the rough. I mean, it just keeps getting better.
I love
so
that.
Here we have as a group of people who are all polishing Wilmington, both from the consumables and arts, crafts, maker. It's almost part of the maker movement, isn't it? The beer,
yeah,
the beer movement.
It's definitely a craft.
Yeah.
Craft on draft.
But Anne, think about it. Think about the new startup, the tech companies that have been coming to Wilmington. Mm-hmm. You've got the brewing industry that's coming.
Got a new makerspace opening up.
The makerspace. But we've also have top chefs. Mm-hmm. That are competing and
great
winning.
Food.
And I mean, really, it is a little bit of a, you know, something we got to shout about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's where our coaching comes in. So that helps our businesses know how to shout about it.
I'm here to help.
Well, one of the things that we like to do when we do these shows is to have an opportunity for everybody to tell us a little bit about how you like to give back to Wilmington, to make Wilmington be the kind of town you want to see it become. And before I do that, I first want to make sure that we have an opportunity to let Wilmington Brewing Company tell us how people can find them and get to you to ask questions.
Sure. Our website is wilmingtonbeer.com.
Well,
so it's easy.
That's pretty simple. Very well done. Well chosen.
Right to the point.
Exactly. All things beer. So that'll take you right to a landing page that'll you can either visit the homebrew shop or the brewing company. And we're housed in the same building anyway. So
okay,
come by and see us.
Super. Okay. Who wants to chime in? How do you guys give back to the city?
Okay. Well, I'm the newbie in Wilmington. I did not grow up here. But through my networking, I was introduced to the Phoenix Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm a business coach, I am going to be donating some of my time.
Excellent. That's fabulous. That's fabulous. Thank you so much for doing that. That's an important ministry here. And you're digging down into the arts and trying to help the arts figure it out.
Doing that, I also I have an 8-year-old in Cub Scouts, so I'm a leader within that organization.
A den leader.
Yes. And,
very nice.
I've been homeroom mom before. I've been all kinds of things. So
they don't call him homeroom dad?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Oh. I was curious.
homeroom representatives.
And what do they do when they're not making beer over you and your husband over at Wilmington Brewing Company?
Well, we've got quite a little community there in the shop, which is a really unexpected cool thing about our store is people from all different kind of walks of life sit down and talk to each other, and they all connect in some way.
Isn't that fabulous?
It's awesome. They get to do it every day. So.
That's great.
Shel, how many employees do you have now?
Myself, my husband, and one other employee. So we are rocking and rolling, but we are not short of help. We have so much support from friends and family that's the only reason we're able to do what we do.
But that's wonderful, and I can't wait to talk to you a year from now and say, how many employees do you have now?
I would,
because I could see you really growing.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, what a fun show this was, right?
Yeah.
The arts, beer, and growing businesses.
I never talk, and I talk.
I know. It was fabulous. Well, until next time, this is Anne Revelle Pitcher signing off for the Wilmington Business Radio Show.